our next speaker is, Sai Damodarajan. And Sai is a PhD candidate in biostatistics at the University of Michigan. Good for you. And a graduate student research assistant at the University of Michigan Kidney Epidemiology and Cost Center. And he will be talking today on a Bayesian small area estimates of self-reported kidney disease prevalence in the United States by county.
You are. Thank you.
Sure.
I kind of cheated a bit talking about self-reported prevalence and prevalence of kidney disease by county. So this work was done as my capacity in CAC at University of Michigan, and as part of a grant funded by CDC and in collaboration with UCSF. I have no relationship to disclose. A basic outline before I launch into my presentation. I'd go over the background and objective of carrying out this exercise and the methods broadly that we use. And then, like I said, I'd be talking about getting county level estimates for self-reported kidney disease and also getting county level estimates for prevalence of kidney disease. And then we'll go through the limitations and conclusions. So, the prevalence of adult kidney disease in the United States, as estimated from 2011 survey data, is about 14%. This, of course, is kidney disease as opposed to end-stage renal disease, and kidney disease, chronic kidney disease as it's defined, puts you at higher risk for end-stage renal disease, which we all know is associated with a higher risk of mortality and also high costs associated with hospitalizations. But the thing about this estimate that we get for 14%, it's that these surveys that these estimates are coming from are not designed to provide estimates for some small regions. And as a result of which, there may be large undetected geographic variation of disease prevalence. So the challenge here is to obtain statistically precise estimates in smaller regions, and that's what we'll go into. So we tackle this challenge by applying a Bayesian multilevel model for small area estimates. Small area estimation, as you know, is an approach to get estimates for regions which do not have enough sample size in the surveys, so that the design-based estimates are usually either extreme or associated with a lot of huge standard error. So small area estimation methods borrow strength across smaller regions and smooth extreme rates towards a global mean. Disease mapping models, in turn, add a spatial component to these small area estimation models, which smooth extreme rates towards the local and the global mean. So based on the neighborhood you're in, your estimates are smoother towards a local mean rather than a global mean. So what data sources can we use? Luckily for us, for estimating kidney disease prevalence, we had this PRFSS 2011 survey, which introduced this question on self-reported kidney disease, which asked, were you ever told that you have kidney disease to participants? And this PRFSS, just background, is a nationally representative survey, and it's a state-stratified sample of around 500,000 people, and it's a survey done by telephone. And they also happen to survey the county information, which also worked in our favor because we want to estimate county levels prevalence. So mapping county level self-reported kidney disease. So like I said, we had data on who self-reported prevalence in the BRFSS, and we also had their self-reported county information. So what we did as a first stage was we cross-classified the data by age, group, and sex. So for this cross-classification, it resulted in 6 classes per county. So here's some notation here. NIC is the number of individuals in county C, class I. YIC is the reweighted number of individuals self-reporting kidney disease. So that's the outcome variable. So we basically fit a Bayesian multi-level model assuming using a logit link. And so for small area estimation, like I said, to smooth rates towards the global mean, we need random effects, and we fit random effects here at the county level and also at the state level, and also spatial random effects at the county level. So this model allows, as I said, for global which are allowed by these state level and county level random effects, and local borrowing of information, which is what the spatial effects does. So this from this model we get an estimate for county level self-reported prevalence in each class, and this estimate we then post-stratify using survey data. Post-stratification is basically obtaining the estimate from the model and multiplying it by the county, the estimated population in the category in that county, and thereby you can get an estimate of one estimate for the county's prevalence. Adding these up. So this is a neat map. I did use the SENSEVS shape files, so the map is kind of flattened out and stretched out a bit. Some people don't like that, but I'm sorry. So this median self-reported kidney, median county level self-reported kidney disease was 2.7%. It ranged from 1.1 to 8.2%. You could see that Texas and the South in general had a higher prevalence of self-reported county disease. 80% of the counties had a rate of less than 3.3%. National average was 2.5%. And we just compared how these estimates from our model-based estimates, compared to the design-based estimates for these counties, which the BRFSS actually gives you data for, because they had a sample size of larger than 500. And it compares pretty well. What we want to be is we want to be on the green line. But we're pretty close to the green line. The R-square is 0.8, the root mean square error is 0.39, median absolute deviation is 0.25. So now coming to prevalence, like I said before, there's a self-reported information available in the survey. It's impossible to go around measuring each person's kidney disease status in the survey. It's of 500,000 people, and there's no way to do it over the telephone. So obviously we don't have the clinical status of kidney disease for each person. So you would conclude that it's impossible to get county level estimates of that. But in order to do that, we could use some multiple imputation methods. So what we did here was we used information from the NHANES, which has a much smaller sample of around 5,000 per year or per 2 year wave. And from that information, what we did was we fit a measurement error model to predict the clinical outcome from self-reported outcome and the covariates, self-reported status of disease and the covariates. And we use this model to multiply impute clinical kidney disease in the BRFSS. So the model covariates included age, race, ethnicity, sex, diabetes, hypertension, which are commonly recognized risk factors of kidney disease. For a further explanation, I would suggest these articles by Shankar et al. And Raghunathan et al. So for step two, let's say we have imputed the kidney disease status for each person in the survey, we still have to get county level estimates, and we follow a similar algorithm that we use, or similar method that we use to get the self-reported county level estimates. And this was again using a multi-level Bayesian model. This time we used a log link instead of logit link, and it was pretty much the same categorization with six classes per county based on age and sex. And in each class, we fit a county level random effect, a state level random effect, and a spatial random effect at the county. So, yes. So we also fit a reduced model, but we got better results with a fully specified model. So to check our disease mapping model, which we could do, was we followed a posterior predictive checking algorithm as suggested by Gelman et al. That if the model fits, then the replicated data generated under the model should look similar to the observed data. So to put it another way, the observed data should look plausible under the posterior predictive distribution. So what this translates to is generating replicates of the data set under the fitting model, calculating the goodness of fit test statistic. Let's say in this case we use the Pearson chi-square statistic, and calculating a Bayesian p-value. So extreme values indicate that the replicated data is not similar to the observed data. So we generally want to be somewhere in the middle, and we do not want to be less than 0.05 or greater than 0.95. So for each imputed data set, this is what we did, and this is like the distribution of patient p-values. You could see that the disease mapping model fit reasonably well, at least according to posterior predictive checks. There's a graphical posterior predictive check presented there. Like I said, this is something pretty much what we'd want to see. We want to see all the dots between the test statistic of the replicates, which is on the y-axis, and the test statistic of the observed data. You want to see all those dots clustered around that line of 45 degrees. And in subgroups, for example, this is, I chose New Jersey and Maine because New Jersey and Maine had a lot of counties with a huge sample size. So that's why I chose these counties to check how the model fit. And again, the model fit reasonably well for this particular imputed data set. For the other imputed data sets, I haven't shown it here, but the results were similar. And finally, what we really wanted was this map, and this is what we got. So the estimates from, estimates from the multiple imputed data sets and the models were combined and post-stratified like before, like I mentioned, with the self-reported data, and then we estimated the county level prevalence of kidney disease. So that ranged from 9.3 to 25.1%. The median was around 16.2%. We argue that we get robust estimates as the coefficient of variation of these estimates range from 5.6% to 20.2% of the estimate, with a median of around 10%. So there are some limitations to our approach. Firstly, there's missing data. Like I said, county information is self-reported in the BRFSS, and about 10% of participants did not report a county in 2011, so we could not impute something like that because we don't have a data, we don't have any predictors of what county a participant would be in. So these were rendered unusable, like 10% of the data was rendered unusable in the survey. We also probably need more years of data, as combining multiple years of data can increase the precision of the imputation. And this is so the method presented here is follows pretty closely to what CDC uses in developing its diabetes atlas. And if you go to the CDC's diabetes atlas website, you would see county level maps of diabetes prevalence, and it's very similar to what we've done. And of course, they had at their disposal, I think, imputed county level information, which means they had a county tag for everyone in the BRFSS, and we don't have that data here. There's also another huge limitation is, although I presented validation or goodness of fit tests for my disease mapping model, I can't quite externally validate the prevalence estimates you produce using multiple imputation. And this we need data for, and this we obviously need data to be collected on prevalence at a county level somewhere so that we can validate our model. So in conclusion, this was a first attempt at achieving more granularity within the CDC CKD surveillance system, of which project this study was part of. Our approach yields estimates with good statistical precision for small areas. Future research could probably examine trends over years and ranking of counties. And as I mentioned before, the approach presented here is similar to CDC's methodology for producing county level estimates of diabetes burden and risk factors. And if something like this is done for CKD, it could probably help in monitoring CKD more closely and preventing the costs that are associated with, say, developing ESRD. Some references and acknowledgements. Thanks.
Good. You just stay right here. Well, great. We have about 6 minutes for questions. Yes, sir.
How did you deal with the over-dispersion problem in your Poisson model? This is my first question. The second one is that you say your data and your result is very similar as the CDC's diabetes preference. comes out your model and your approach based on the strategic model?
I'll answer your second question first. I'm not saying my approach is better than CDC's model. I'm saying similar things have been done for diabetes, so there's no reason why it should not be done for kidney disease, which is what we're trying to do here. It wasn't that the results are similar. I'm just saying the approach is similar, and I'm advocating or I'm pushing for the fact that it should be done for kidney disease. I don't know if it would ever happen, but that would be nice to see from a personal standpoint. For your first question, the overdispersion in the Poisson model. So if you'd see, we used a random effect apart from, so it's like a convolution model, is what you'd be familiar with the terminology, if you're familiar with that. So it's, so there's a random, Corney level random effect apart from the spatial effect. So that should probably account for some of the overdispersion as well.
No question. Yes.
You mentioned the concept of a spatial random effect. You have random effects for county and then for state. And then how does the spatial random effect fit into that scenario?
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So, the spatial random effect is. So the random effect for the county and the state, like I said, some part of it takes care of the overdispersion, and another part is the spatial random effect, which allows for. So in our case, the random effect here, the spatial random effect, is nothing but a conditionally autoregressive prior parameter placed on that phi c there. So that's allowing for local borrowing of information, as you would think of it. If you in broad conceptual terms, rather, if you think of it, it's allowing for borrowing of information from the neighborhood. So my neighborhood matrix is just ones for, it contains ones for whoever shares a boundary with this particular county and zeros for everyone else. And then meanwhile, so that allows for neighborhood borrowing of information from the neighborhood, whereas this random effect, the global random effect at the county or the state level, shrinks that rate towards the global mean. So that's what this model is doing. This model is shrinking this rate of, say, let's say this county had, say, 10 observations in the sample. 10 individual sample or 500,000. So it's probably going to have an extreme rate based on a small sample size. So that's based on its sample size, its rate is smooth towards the global mean, and also it's also smoothing towards its local mean, which is based on the counties around it.
Okay. So we'll take your questions. Yes.
Could this approach take you to an even smaller estimate area? So you went from state to county.
Yeah.
And you went county to zip code or since it's traffic is far.
We could, but again, so we stuck to one thing, if you observed, was we stuck to the counties in the contiguous United States, because the counties outside the contiguous United States, we kind of did not have any samples from the BRFSS. We did not have many samples from the BRFSS. So in order for that to happen, you probably need enough representation from every, say, like if you go to census blocks, which I think is a smaller classification, I think it is.
Tiniest.
It's, yeah. So in that case, you might have like 50% of the census blocks might have no data whatsoever available. So that would be the challenge there. Here in this case, at least, I think 90% of the counties have some kind of data available.
But if you
have
county data,
mm-hmm.
could you invert, or could you move to a smaller unit, or a smaller area estimate than a county, if you have good county data, prevalence data?
If we had good, one thing I followed, so if you're saying if we have good county level prevalence data, could we infer on census blocks?
Yeah.
We would still, wouldn't we still need sampling from the census blocks themselves? Wouldn't we need representative sampling from the census blocks themselves?
So you're saying there's not enough information?
Yeah, there's not enough information. Or yes, it could be done, but I think the county level thing is probably an important first step before we get there.
Can I just add on to that? Yes, CDC, I have a colleague that works in CDC, Xinyu Zhang, he works on very similar content. He's being able to also use the breakfast from you know, state level, but
yeah.
it was a drill down to, you know, tensor block group level.
Okay.
Even smaller, because he used, I think he's using the, you know, geocoded file.
Okay.
You know, they're using geocoded to tensor block.
Yeah.
Level,
yeah.
And then using the demographic of the patient or any respondent, and then, you know, applying it to the population.
Right.
So that way, he was to be able to do down to very small geography, and I can forward that
sure.
For a while, at least.
That'd be great, thanks.